You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church, Ross on Wye. To find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
Good morning. I want to add my welcomes to the visitors, whoever is visiting for the first time. You're welcome. I'm going to speak for just a few minutes, and afterwards we'll have some times of prayer, maybe praying for each other and see how the Lord is leading. Now, I'm going to speak for the last few weeks, we've been talking from the book of Isaiah 61, and I'm going to read from Luke chapter 4, which is the same Isaiah 61, but this is now Jesus reading it. It says from my eyes. it says in chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the good news to the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. So I need to provide just the background to this. I know some other people have spoken about it, and I'm not going to cover everything. Just pick some few things that I felt like I need to share, and which is the conclusion of this Isaiah 61. Jesus was born in the south of Israel, was born in Bethlehem, as it was prophesied. And then Herod wanted to kill him, and they immigrated to Egypt for a while, and then they came back. When they came back to Israel, they didn't go back to Bethlehem. They went up north. They went to Galilee in the village called Nazareth, and that's where Jesus grew up. So Jesus grew up there with his parents, and he had brothers and sisters. And then at some point, he decided to go down south again. When he went down south, that's the time when John the Baptist was preaching. And Jesus went to him. They were cousins, so they knew each other. But not just that, but they knew each other in the spirit. So when Jesus went there and they said to John, I want to be baptized as well. And John baptized him. When he was baptized, the heavens opened, and the spirit, the Bible says, like a dove, came upon Jesus. And then there was a voice from God saying, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. After that, now Jesus, this time, maybe he was in his 30s. So at this time, he went back to Nazareth up north. Now, as this is now the setting, I'm setting the scene now. Jesus comes back to his hometown. And as the Bible says, as was his custom. So he used to go on Sabbath on the synagogue and pray with the rest of the people. And then he was given the book of Isaiah, and that's what he reads for the first time. You remember when Tim came and preached to us and trying to give the context of Isaiah 61, he said how that is messianic, how the Jews for the first time heard and what it meant. Now, Jesus opened this Bible, this scroll, and read this passage, and then it says, he closed the book, and he gave it back to the attendant and sat down. Not me. Yeah. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. So all bore witness and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? And it went on and on. So the context is, Jesus comes back. I missed one bit, which I need to give you. In the book of Luke, it says that after Jesus was baptized, he was led by the Spirit to the wilderness to be tried. And to me, that's a very important a lesson you can draw from there. Because sometimes when we say that we're being led by the Spirit, it always the Holy Spirit led her to something good. But here it says in Luke chapter 4 that Jesus was led by the Spirit to the desert, to the wilderness to be tried. And he was tried there for 40 days. He was there for 40 days. And after that, we know the devil came and tempted and things like that. When he had finished, the Bible says, sorry, I'm kind of going quick, just a summary. The Bible says that then he left in the power of the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit is involved in Jesus' life from the very beginning, all through his life. And we as Christians, we need to allow Holy Spirit to operate in our lives in every part of our lives. Because sometimes we think, as I said, we always think or hear Holy Spirit saying to us when he's saying something good, something like we want to hear. But sometimes maybe Holy Spirit is leading us to something. Maybe we are not prepared yet to hear. But what he wants from us is just the obedience. So Jesus obeyed the Holy Spirit, was there, and he comes back and tells the people in the synagogue. It's a small synagogue. It's maybe this size, and telling them this has been fulfilled in your sight. And people are like, what do you mean? We know you. You grew up here. We know. But the difference was they had not seen what happened to him. He went to be baptized, and the Holy Spirit came upon him. And people who were there, they witnessed what they're seeing, but the village, his village hadn't. And that's where it launches Jesus' ministry. It says from there, he went to Capernaum, he went to all these other places. So one thing that I want to say is, God has anointed each and every one of us. It doesn't matter where you've started, it doesn't matter whether people notice that or not. The Bible says that we've all been anointed, been set apart for God. God has a mission for each and every one of us. It doesn't have to be maybe a preacher, but in your sphere of influence, that's where God has anointed you. I mean, as my lead had said, that we have come from different parts of the world, you know. Brazil, I was born in Tanzania, maybe some people from Wales, or up there. From the UK. You're not supposed to say Wales. Yeah, but God has brought us all around from different parts of the world because he has a plan for each and one of us for this time. It may not be permanently, but for this time, God has stationed us here and everyone has a contribution. So we need to be mindful that God has anointed us to do his bidding, to do his will. Now, that passage is talking about God has anointed to preach the good news. People have spoken about preaching the good news to heal the sick. Tim came the other day and reminded us about praying for the sick amongst ourselves and where we go, that God has. And also, I want to look at this verse stood out for me. It says to proclaim the liberty to the captives. And I thought, what does that mean? Now, this is my understanding. You may correct me if I'm wrong. He says to proclaim liberty to those who are captive. We're not praying for them. We are telling them that they are no longer captives. So sometimes it's just in their mind, people are being held captives in their thinking. We don't have to pray for them. We just have to tell them their position, who they are in Christ. If they are not in Christ, who they are in God's eyes. So that's the thing that I thought I need to kind of emphasize, that sometimes by saying the word of God, by proclaiming the word of God, people are being set free. Sometimes you don't have to pray for them by declaring. The Greek word is called kerygma, which is declaration, saying this is what God has done. You are no longer in captivity. You are no longer a slave. You have been bought at a price. You are God's own chosen one. So we need to be kind of mindful that where in this circumstance that the Holy Spirit is leading us to proclaim his liberty to the people that we interact with, people we talk to, people at work, wherever we meet them. Because sometimes we may be speaking to somebody, I feel like maybe there is a stronghold here. It may be you have to pray for him or for her, but sometimes just to proclaim, as we are singing God's glory, God's goodness, God's power. God's power is not limited just to us. God's power is everywhere. So we need to proclaim that wherever we go. Now, So that's one of the things that I thought I need to kind of emphasize this morning, that there are times where we need to declare that people are free. And there are times where we can pray for people to be set free, but sometimes we just declare. So people's mind, they align with God's mindset. They align with God's thinking. Because if people don't see the way God sees them, they'll always be in captivity. They'll always be held as prisoners. Now, and then I thought about this. So the other thing that I thought, just to conclude about the Isaiah 61, Jesus is our example. How can we make sure that we live up to this Isaiah 61? And I've drawn up like 3 points that I want to talk about. One is we need to treasure the anointing. In the Old Testament, if you read the Old Testament, in Exodus and Deuteronomy, there's an elaborate procedures on how to prepare the anointing oil. It's so complicated. You have to bring different spices and things like that. And in the end, you have to put in a jar that's cleansed and things like that. And I thought, we as Christians, we need to treasure what God has deposited in each one of us. God has deposited his anointing. And our duty is to treasure that anointing, to make sure that that anointing stays in jars that gives honor to God, as it says in the Bible. So we individually been commissioned to treasure this anointing. And how do we treasure the anointing? And I'm thinking, is to make sure that our lives are in line with God's commandment. The Bible says, God says, I am holy, so be you holy, because I am holy. So all that God has called us is, if we live according to what God has called us, we'll be treasuring this anointing. And I was thinking about you remember that Samson, that he was also anointed, but his anointing used to come at certain times in his lifestyle, in his lifetime. And there was one time when he was with Delilah, he knew that every time, because he was, God had anointed him as a deliverer, he was one of the judges, and the power of God would come upon him and do all these feats, different feats to the people, and people saw the power of God. And there was one time when he was with Delilah, he gave out the secret, that the secret was the power comes from his hair. So the hair was cut off. And then the Bible says he rose up again and they found that he has no strength. And as it says in Judges 16, verse 20, he didn't know that the Lord had departed from him. And I thought, that's a shocking indictment, that he was living his life in these experiences that it always happened. Last time when he had compromised his position, he didn't know that God is not there. God had left him. So I think what I want to say here is that we need to treasure this relationship. We need to treasure this anointing that God has given us, so that whenever it's needed, it will be manifest. It will be, I don't want to talk about manifestation, but I think the most important is to be ready to be used by God, because we're always, always ready. Whatever it is, God has put his anointing on us. We don't want to live on experiences, but we have to live on the word of God, because the word of God is far better in sure foundation than our previous experience. Experiences are good, but our lives are not governed by experience, but our lives are governed by the word of God. So that's one. We have to treasure the anointing. The other bit is we have to maintain this anointing. And I'm looking at the life of Jesus. Jesus' anointing with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came and said, and God said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. But Jesus always took time away from the congregation, from the day-to-day activities, to go with the Father. And there's one, I'm not going to read of it, but I'm going to give you a context. In the book of Mark, chapter 9, Jesus had preached, and he took Peter, John, and James up to the mountain to pray. While they were there, things happened, and his face, the countenance changed, and they heard the voice, and Peter said, "Oh Lord, if you want, we can build three tabernacles for me, you, for you, Moses and Elijah," because Moses and Elijah appeared. I don't know what the significance of that. And then when they finished, in the morning, they came down the mountain and there was commotion. People were arguing. And the people were arguing because they went to Jesus. They said, "This man here, his son, is demon possessed. But when we brought him to your disciples, they couldn't do anything." And Jesus said, "Oh, bring him here, and he was delivered. When he was delivered, his disciple asked him afterwards, "Why couldn't we do that?" And they said, "This kind of things need to be happening through fasting and prayers." And I thought, oh, okay. Just one thing. So one thing that I want to say is we need to make sure we maintain our relationship with the anointer, which is the Holy Spirit, with the God. We need to find time to just be with the Holy Spirit, to just be with God, like Jesus. Before he made any decision, he made the habit of taking time out and be with God. Now, when Jesus said, "These things do not come out except by prayers and fasting," you think, what does that mean? Does that mean that if somebody brings somebody needs a deliverance or whatever, we need to fast and pray and come and pray for them? That may be one of them. Maybe we may have times where we have to take time out, we have to pray, we have to fast for a certain situation to change. But I'm thinking it's slightly different. Because in Jesus' life, when he came down, he just prayed and was delivered. Because Jesus himself lived a life of fasting and prayer. So if we live a life of fasting and prayer, that means we are already always maintaining this relationship with the Father. So even if we are encountering something very difficult, it's not going to be as difficult because we have the lifestyle of prayer and fasting. I read it somewhere. There's a book called Didache, which was written about maybe the second century after the death of the apostles, but it was the second century. That book gives the clue of how the first century lived their life. And one of the things in that book is they're talking about prayer and fasting. And it seems as if that during the time of the first church, they used to fast and pray on Wednesdays and Fridays. I mean, I don't know. There may be a reason why. But they had a habit, like the church would always fast on Wednesday, always fast on Thursday. I'm not saying that we should be fasting on Thursday or whatever, but I think they had this lifestyle of prayer and fasting because they know that by praying and fasting, they are committing themselves to God. When we pray, when we fast and pray, we are not twisting God's arm. We are just humbling ourselves, as the Bible says that we humble ourselves through fasting. King David said he humbled himself through fasting. So when we fast, we are humbling ourselves before God. We are making ourselves ready to hear from God. And as I said, I don't want to make it a habit, to make it like legalistic. We have to pray and fast on such and such day. But I think we need to fill in ourselves how the Holy Spirit is leading. In my life, I used to, long time ago, pray and fast on a certain day. And then it went, and for some time, I just forgot. I don't know what happened. And then a few years, I started fasting and praying, but without a specific day. You know, I don't have a specific day. I may feel like, oh, next week I need to fast on such and such a day. And I thought it kind of helps me a lot to be closer to God by having those times of setting everything aside, saying, "God, I'm going to dedicate this week, or I'm going to dedicate this month or this day to just pray and fast." And however you've been called to pray and fast, whatever you feel is right. But I think the most important is by fasting and praying, as I said, we are not twisting God's arm, but it makes us more aware of the promptings and the leadings of the Holy Spirit. The sensitivity, our spiritual sensitivity is heightened because we have made time out to say, "This time or this day, God, I'm going to seek you. I need to hear you about this thing or this, that thing. Or just because you just feel like it. Because, yeah, as I said, in my life, I'll give you a testimony. In my life, I feel like I may say, oh, maybe this week I need to pray and fast. There's no particular something that I need to pray and fast for. It's just I feel to be. And then when I pray and fast, after that, I feel more aware of what Holy Spirit is saying in my own life, areas in my life that I need to improve or I need to be careful about, all these other things. And it kind of, it makes me be sensitive what the Holy Spirit is doing. Not just in my own life, even the people around me. You know, I may not tell them, but I may think, oh, that month I was praying about this and now God has answered. So it kind of encourages me that always there's a benefit of seeking God. There's always benefit. So by having this lifestyle of seeking God, fasting and praying, then you'll continue to maintain the anointing. And the last bit that I want to talk about is to trust God for the anointing. It's one thing to read here, say, oh, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and such. But to trust what God has put in you. Sometimes God has called you to do something, or God has said something to you to do something or say something or whatever. You need to trust that God who said that will do that. And this reminds me in the book of John, chapter 2. You remember the wedding of Cana, which is the same area, not far from where Jesus grew up, you know, Nazareth and Capernaum and Cana of Galilee. And then they had run out of wine. And Jesus' mother went to Jesus and said, oh, they had run out of wine. What? Please help. And Jesus said, my time is not yet. Anyway, some other words he said as well. But Jesus' mother didn't take that as a no. And he told the people, says, whatever he tells you to do, do it. And I think, to me, that's also very important. That's how we trust God with the anointing. Whatever God is saying to you to do, do it, because he's anointed you. He's set you aside for you for his own ministry. Because sometimes we overthink a lot of things. You're thinking, what if it didn't happen? What if it's not right? What if it doesn't happen there and then? It's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to just do what God has called us to do. As human, we want things to happen very quickly. But I've heard testimonies of people who've been prayed for and the result didn't happen there and then. The result happened later on because that was the word of God. That God said he'll be healed, or God said something would happen and they happened. And it reminded me, I mean, you know this story, that there was a centurion in the Bible. His servant was sick, so he decided to go to Jesus to say, so Jesus could come into his house and heal the servant. And the Bible says, when Jesus met him, and the man said, just say one word and my servant will be well. And Jesus said that, go back, your servant will be healed. And he went back, the Bible says, the following day. So he traveled all the way to meet Jesus. And they took Jesus' word and went all the way back. The following day, he went to his house and the servant was healed. And they said, when did this happen? Oh, they said, oh, it happened yesterday at such and such a time. This happened because this man trusted Jesus and took Jesus at his word and his servant was healed. So to just finish my preaching is, we need to treasure the anointing that God has given us. We need to take it very seriously because he took it very seriously. We need to maintain our relationship with God. It's not a show. We are not doing for the show. We are not doing it for our own benefit. We are doing it for his glory, that God will be honored, not us. You know, I don't want people to remember us, but I want people to be pointed to Jesus, to say, oh, why did this thing happen? They happened because Jesus was there. And finally, is to make sure that we trust God. Whatever God is leading us to do. Sometimes it may be something very small. You know, God says, do something. By doing it, you're increasing your hearing from God, you're increasing your faithfulness, and God will entrust you with bigger and greater things. So the anointing is for each and every one of us. The Bible says that each and everyone has given a measure of faith. It's not like somebody's got, we cannot measure, but each one of us have been called, have been anointed, have been set aside to do all this, to preach the good news, to proclaim liberty to those who are in captivity, to heal the sick, and to restore the sight of those who are blind. And finally, it says, Jesus, I know I don't want to be theological here. When Jesus read that passage from Isaiah, he read up to the second verse, only the first of the second verse. He didn't read the second bit. He was talking about the vengeance of the Lord. He just finished by saying, and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, that this is the year of God of acceptance. So we need to make sure that we know that God has accepted us. There's no any other time as now. This is the time that God has accepted us. God has placed us from different walks of time, of lives, but to be here because he's got a plan for each and every one of us. Cool. So I think that's it, what I just wanted to talk about. Just as I said, it's just a reminder of what we've heard before. And I think what we're going to do now, maybe the worship is going to come and sing us a song, and we're going to pray afterwards. If you need anything, you need prayers for whatever it is, maybe healing or whatever something, we would love to stand with you as a church. You can speak to the person next to you, or anyone can come and stand with you. This is where we are practicing what we preach, that God has called us, has given this anointing. The anointing is for us and the people around us. So if you need any prayers, just let us know and we'll pray with you.